Chapter 22, Unemployment and Full Employment. Page 172. Introduction. Unemployment has been one of the most persistent and unmanageable problems facing all industrial countries of the world. At the same time, the goal of public policy has been to remove unemployment and to achieve full employment in such countries. We attempt below the various types of causes of unemployment for an understanding of the meaning of the term full employment. Types of unemployment. Before explaining the various types of unemployment, it is necessary to define the term unemployment. Every man's dictionary of economics defines unemployment as involuntary idleness of a person willing to work at the prevailing rate of pay but unable to find it. It implies that only those persons are to be regarded as unemployed who are prepared to work at the prevailing rate of pay, but they do not find work. Voluntarily unemployed persons who do not want to work, like the idle rich, are not considered unemployed. We now analyze the various causes or types of unemployment. 1. Frictional unemployment. Frictional unemployment exists when there is lack of adjustment between demand for and supply of labor. This may be due to lack of knowledge on the part of employers about the availability of workers, or on the part of workers that employment is available at a particular place. It is also caused by lack of necessary skills for a particular job, labor immobility, breakdowns of machinery, shortages of raw materials, etc. The period of unemployment between losing one job and finding another is also included under frictional unemployment. 2. Seasonal unemployment. Seasonal unemployment results from seasonal fluctuations in demand. Employment in ice factories is only for the summer. Similarly, ice cream sellers remain unemployed during winter and chestnut sellers during summer. The same is the case with agricultural workers who remain employed during harvesting and sowing seasons and remain idle for the rest of the year. 3. Cyclical unemployment. Cyclical unemployment arises due to the cyclical fluctuations in the economy. They may also be generated by international forces. A business cycle consists of alternating periods of booms and depressions. It is during the downswing of the business cycle that income and output fall, leading to widespread unemployment. 4. Structural unemployment. Structural unemployment results from a variety of causes. It may be due to lack of the cooperant factors of production or changes in the economic structure of the society. The word structural implies that the economic changes are massive, extensive, deep-seated, amounting to transformation of an economic structure, that is, the production functions or labor supply distribution. More specifically, it refers to changes which are large in particular area, industry or occupation. Shifting patterns in the demands for the products of various industries have also been responsible for this type of unemployment. There are, however, economists who argue that the higher unemployment in America since 1957 has been due to causes other than inadequate demand. 1. A faster rate of technological change. 2. A displaced worker remains unemployed for a number of days in finding a new job. And 3. Most of the unemployed workers belong to blue-collar groups. The supporters of the structural transformation thesis hold that the number of vacancies is greater than or equal to the number of displaced workers due to structural changes in a particular area, industry or occupation, and that unemployment is not due to inadequacy of demand. 5. Technological unemployment. Keynes failed to take into account technological unemployment that has taken place more rapidly in the post-war period. Modern production process is essentially dynamic, where innovations lead to the adoption of new machineries and inventions, thereby displacing existing workers, leaving behind a trail of unemployment. When there is automation or displacement of old technology by a new one requiring less workers than before, there is technological unemployment. Page 173. A special case of technological unemployment is that which is not due to improvements in the techniques of production, but in the technique of organization. It pertains to making management more efficient, which may decide upon modernizing existing facilities or closing down obsolete plants. In all such cases, unemployment is bound to decrease. In fact, there is little to distinguish between structural and technology unemployment. One of the causes of structural unemployment is technological change. Technological change itself causes obsolescence of skills, thereby leading to structural unemployment. Further, both structural and technological unemployment are related to inadequate demand. Technological change tends to increase output per man hour, which has the effect of raising the potential total output in the economy. If this potential growth in output is not matched by the actual growth in output, there will be unemployment in the economy due to deficiency in demand. Therefore, modern economists are of the view that unemployment is caused by structural changes, technological changes, and by inadequacy of demand taken together. 6. Disguised unemployment. Disguised or concealed unemployment or underemployment is a notable feature of underdeveloped countries. Such unemployment is not voluntary but involuntary. People are prepared to work, but they are unable to find work throughout the year due to lack of complementary factors. Such unemployment is found among rural landless and small farmers due to the seasonal nature of farm operations and inefficient land and equipment to keep them fully employed. A person is said to be disguised unemployed if his contribution to output is less than what he can produce by working for normal hours per day. His marginal productivity is nil or negligible, and by withdrawing such laborers, farm output can be increased. There are also other types of underemployed persons in such countries. A person is considered to be underemployed if he is forced by unemployment to take a job that he thinks is not adequate for his purpose or not commensurate with his training. Further, there are those who work full-time in terms of hours per day but earn very little to rise above the poverty level. They are hawkers, petty traders, rickshaw pullers, workers in hotels and restaurants and in repair shops, etc. in urban areas. Open and disguised unemployment in urban and rural areas are estimated at 30 to 35% of the labor force in underdeveloped countries. Meaning of full employment. Right from the classicals to the modern economists, there is no unanimity of views on the meaning of full employment. It is a very slippery concept, according to Professor Ackley, but the credit for popularizing it goes to Keynes. And since the end of the Second World War I, it has been accepted as one of the important goals of public policy. Though full employment is not definable, nor should it be defined, according to Professor Henry Hazlitt, yet it is worthwhile analyzing the various views of economists on full employment. The classical view. Note 1. For figures and detailed explanation, refer to Chapter 6. The classical economists always believed in the existence of full employment in the economy. To them, full employment was a normal situation, and any deviation from this was regarded as something abnormal. According to Piaget, the tendency of the economic system was to automatically provide full employment in labor market. Unemployment resulted from the rigidity in the wage structure and interference in the working of the free market system in the form of trade union legislation, minimum wage legislation, etc. Full employment exists when everybody who at the running rate of wages wishes to be employed. Those who are not prepared to work at the existing wage rate are not unemployed in the Piagetian sense because they are voluntarily unemployed. There is, however, no possibility of involuntary unemployment in the sense that people are prepared to work but they do not find work. According to Piaget, with perfectly free competition, there will always be at work a strong tendency for wage rates to be so related to demand that everybody is employed. However, this classical view on full employment is consistent with some amounts of frictional, voluntary, seasonal or structural unemployment. The Keynesian view. According to Keynes, full employment means the absence of involuntary unemployment. In other words, full employment is a situation in which everybody who wants to work gets work. Full employment, so defined, is consistent with frictional and voluntary unemployment. Keynes assumes that with a given organization, equipment and technique, real wages and the volume of output and hence of employment are uniquely correlated, so that in general an increase in employment can only occur to the accompaniment of a decline in the rate of wages. To achieve full employment, Keynes advocates increase in effective demand to bring about a reduction in real wages. Thus, the problem of full employment is one of maintaining adequate effective demand. Page 174. When effective demand is deficient, writes Keynes, there is underemployment of labor in the sense that there are men unemployed who would be willing to work at less than existing real wage. Consequently, as effective demand increases, employment increases, though at a real wage equal to or less than the existing one, until a point comes at which there is no surplus of labor available at the then existing real wage. Keynes gives an alternative definition of full employment at another place in his general theory. Thus, it is a situation in which aggregate employment is inelastic in response to an increase in the effective demand for its output. It means that the test of full employment is when any further increase in effective demand is not accompanied by any increase in output. Since the supply of output becomes inelastic at the full employment level, any further increase in effective demand will lead to inflation in the economy. Thus, the Keynesian concept of employment involves three conditions. 1. Reduction in the real wage rate. 2. Increase in effective demand. And 3. Inelastic supply of output at the level of full employment. Note 2. See Figure 2 of Chapter 20 and its explanation. Other views on full employment. According to Professor W. W. Hart, attempting to define full employment raises many people's blood pressure. Rightly so, because there is hardly any economist who does not define it in his own way. Lord Beveridge, in his book Full Employment in a Free Society, defined it as a situation where there were more vacant jobs than employed men, so that normal lag between losing one job and finding another will be very short. But full employment, he does not mean zero employment, which means that full employment is not always full. There is always a certain amount of frictional unemployment in the economy, even when there is full employment. He estimated frictional unemployment of 3% in a full employment situation for England. But his pleading for more vacant jobs than the unemployed cannot be accepted as full employment level. According to the American Economic Association Committee, full employment means that qualified people who seek jobs at prevailing rates can find them in productive activities without considerable delay. It means full-time jobs for people who want to work full-time. It does not mean that people like housewives and students are under pressure to take jobs when they don't want jobs, or that workers are under pressure to put in undesired overtime. It does not mean unemployment is ever zero. This is not a definition but a description of full employment situation, where all qualified persons who want jobs at current wage rates find full-time jobs. Here again, like Beveridge, the committee considered full employment to be consistent with some amount of unemployment. Individual economists may, however, continue to differ over the definition of full employment, but the majority has veered round the view expressed by the UN experts on national and international measures for full employment, that full employment may be considered as a situation in which employment cannot be increased by an increase in effective demand, and unemployment does not exceed the minimum allowances that must be made for the effects of frictional and seasonal factors. This decision is in keeping with the Keynesian and Beveridgian views on full employment. It is now agreed that full employment stands for 96 to 97% employment, with 3 to 4% unemployment existing in the economy due to frictional factors. Measures to achieve and maintain full employment. Since underemployment is caused by deficiency in effective demand, full employment can be achieved by increasing effective demand, either by stimulating investment or consumption, or both. Full employment is thus sought to be achieved and maintained by monetary, fiscal, and direct measures, which are discussed in the chapters on monetary and fiscal policies. Exercises. 1. What do you mean by full employment? Explain measures to achieve full employment. 2. Distinguish between structural unemployment and technological unemployment. 3. Write notes on frictional, cyclical, and disguised unemployment. With this, we come to the end of chapter 22.